Our reading this morning is from the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Paul writes to the church and us today, and you talk about a timely passage. He writes, "Wake up, you who are sleeping. Rise, and Christ will give you light. So be careful how you live. Live as those who are wise and not foolish. Make the best use of your time in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what God wants you to do." This is the word of the Lord. Is that me? All right. If we do, we'll get it fixed. Okay, so if you were here a few weeks ago, I talked about, with everything going on the pandemic, almost so many of my messages the last few months have been kind of focused on that. And this is an addendum to what I was saying just a couple of weeks ago, because what I said a couple of weeks ago is very often, all right, we need to get this fixed. Is it me, Bill?
Yes.
What do I need to do?
I don't know.
All right. I'm going to switch over here. That's what I'm going to do. All right. All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We're back in business, baby. All right. So, oh, no, we're not back in business. Hold on. So a few weeks ago, I talked about what we're often doing is we're catching ourselves right now, either focused on what's happened in the future, wringing our hands about what's happened, or constantly looking back at the past, looking what we've lost. And what I've said and what the Bible's certainly saying is we've got to be focused right now in the present, where God has us. So this is an addendum to what I was saying just a few weeks ago, and that is simply this. With everything that's happening, everybody I talk to, certainly what I've experienced, we've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. And because of that, there are circumstances that are taking place that we're having a hard time reacting to them, how to know what to do. This scripture reading this morning gives us insight into that. And I know for myself, I found myself thinking that, especially the last 2 months, we are at war with something out there. And how do we handle it as a body of believers, as the church? And of course, this reminded me of a sermon given nearly 80 years ago by C.S. Lewis. In Oxford, he gave a sermon called Learning in Wartime to a bunch of college students. And the reason why he gave it is he was responding to a speech by what, in my opinion, one of the greatest figures in history, Mr. Winston Churchill, who stood alone, really, in the world and stared down Adolf Hitler as he was beginning to invade France. And Hitler was talking about a 1,000-year reign. And England was by herself. And Churchill stood across and looked across the English Channel and saw what Hitler was doing. And he basically said in no uncertain terms in this speech, "You have gone this far and you will go no farther. We are not going to give up another inch to the enemy." What Lewis did was, because he was the second most recognized voice in Europe, really, because he was on the radio all the time, he took Churchill's speech and he took it to the spiritual realm. He put Christ in it. And he basically said to the world, and especially to Christendom, to believers, for us, we cannot give up another inch that belongs to God. We cannot give it up to the enemy. Therefore, the enemy cannot reserve places in our head, cannot reserve places in our hearts, cannot reserve places in our souls that belongs to God. And therefore, how we react to that means everything to this. And so Lewis wrote this, not only he wrote this, but he also preached this, that has since lasted down nearly 80 years. And what he said in there is there are three enemies that are going to take place to our faith. What are those three enemies? And he said this during war, and I would say here we are 80 years later, it's just as prevalent right now. And the first one he said is what he called the enemy of distraction. He actually uses the word excitement, but he uses the word distract. You know, I'm using the word distractment, and that is simply this. Right now, we are so easily distracted by everything that's happening around us that we're having a hard time focusing on what is truly important. And I could spend an hour going down all the things that distract us. I will not do that. But just think about the time we spend on social media. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Snapchat. And by the way, this is not just a young people thing. This is becoming an everybody thing. Think amount of time we have spent obsessed about COVID numbers, people getting it, death. Let me just get a little closer to home here. Think about the time that we have spent watching political news channels. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about here. Of course you do. So you heard somebody, there's a younger person who remembers this. The amount of time we spend on stuff that, seriously, 200 years from now, we're in the city of God, we're not going to be sitting around talking. You know, I really wish that I had spent a couple more hours a week watching Fox News or CNN or MSNBC. We're not going to be talking about that. My hope is we're going to be talking about what were we doing that was important and what matters to God. People, His Word. Those are the things that are going into eternity. And what is so easy to happen is we are distracted by these things. We are obsessed. It goes back to the very beginning, in the beginning of the garden, of getting distracted by these outside things that keep us unfocused on what God wants us to be focused on. And a part of this, I have to say, is when we are distracted, we can no longer, we're not in this as much anymore. We are forgetting God's putting people in our lives that we seem to be missing. There's doors that are opening. The enemy of distraction. The second thing Lewis says, I'll put up here, is what he calls the enemy of frustration. And I don't think I have to make too big of an argument here for this, because I think most of us know what he's talking about. And that is this, and I can surely say this right now, and this is not hyperbole. In, at least in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen people more frustrated than they are right now. Am I alone? Have you seen that? Have you felt that? And we are frustrated about what we've lost. We're frustrated about what's going to happen in the future. We're frustrated by things that are constantly changing. It's led to people being incredibly angry. And when I think about this, you know, the conversations I've had with people, someone just told me 3 weeks ago, he said, I've worked for 50 years for retirement. I've lost it all in 6 months. All of it gone. I talked to a man a month ago who said, we're in the process of building a house. We can no longer afford to move into it. I think about people that who have lost employment, who are struggling, and we're frustrated. How much are we going to lose? And people keep saying, I had these plans and now they're just gone. And what I told them, I'm telling you, and you've probably heard this before, but it's so true. If you want to make God laugh, tell him what your future plans are. I mean, how many of us can testify to this? All those years ago, how different our life has turned out. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't change a thing. Like I said earlier, we make our plans, but God is the one who establishes our steps. That's certainly true with here, but let me just tell you why we're frustrated. And this is what Lewis brings out that convicted me, at least. And I pray if the slipper fits, you'll put it on. And he said, the reason why we're so frustrated is we have lost our focus on Christ, and we begin to put our hope and our faith in other things. This is certainly true now, and I don't feel like I'm saying something here that we don't know about. We are putting more faith in politicians than we are in Christ. We're putting more hope in humanity than we are in God. And when I was on social media, before I got off a few months ago, I remember people used to post this on Bluffton Ask all the time. Someone would say something like this. They'd say, yeah, I lost my purse in the Publix parking lot, and someone turned it in. And they'd say, my faith in humanity, remember this, has been restored. And what I always want to say on there, and I'm not being cynical, this is just the gospel, yeah, it's restored right now for this hour, but as soon as you pull out of the parking lot and someone cuts you off, it'll be unrestored. And the reason why is because we live in a broken and screwed up world. It's always been like that. And therefore, when we place our faith and our hope and our dreams in politicians and Congress and people, Lewis says we are always, always, always going to be frustrated because they will always let us down, including me. I will let you down. But Christ never will. And this is what he was calling, really, the world back to, calling us back to Christ. And so we place our faith in humanity, we place our hope in politicians or anything else, or as certainly I've tried to do as a parent, you know, we want to create this Garden of Eden here on earth. The problem is we try to create an Eden in a broken world. And we try to create Eden, thorns and thistles grow up in it. And we're frustrated when it happens. Lewis says that maybe the most spiritual, in ordinary times, maybe the most spiritual, maybe the wisest of people can notice that, but a lot of us miss it. He says in times of war, in times of pandemic, he said, even the stupid of us realize that. We see it. This is the reason why we can no longer place our faith and our hope in these other things. We have to put our faith and our hope in Christ. And so happiness in this world, okay, he says, and he pulls this right out of the scriptures, was always doomed for frustration. I think that helps to know that. It helps to know that. So he says we have to guard against our thinking here. And the Bible warns us about this, that we got to be very careful when we make our plans and always ask, is this in line with God's will? That's that great part of the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it's currently happening in heaven. So whatever is happening in heaven that's not happening on earth, we would do everything in our power to unleash that. And what's happening on earth that's currently not happening in heaven, we would do everything to stop it. But we have to ask ourselves, God, does your plan for my life, or does my plan even come close to falling in your will? And of course, realizing we're in a broken world, realizing it's going to be difficult. This is the reason why James, in the book of James, I want to put the scripture up here. What he says here, how do you know? Oh, sorry, I'm getting ahead of behind myself. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? I mean, we've done this, make our plans. And then he says this, what we ought to say is if the Lord wills it, we will live and do this. If the Lord wills it, we will live and do that. So, Lord, I am making these plans, but I'm asking you to lead me to ask, is this in accordance with your will? Not by what politicians say, or what humanity says, or what self-help books say, but what you say. And so we have to be careful then, that's why Paul says we have to be careful then how we live, how we think, asking for wisdom, to think about these things, to push back on, put them up here, to push back on the enemies of these up here, of distraction, of frustration, pushing back on those things. And lastly, he says, and this is certainly true right now when we find ourselves, it's not just these first two, distraction and frustration. He said, we also have what he calls the enemy of fear. Again, I don't think I have to make too hard of an argument for this. That right now, maybe more times since maybe World War II, we find ourselves with great fear. And what I mean, people are scared they could get sick, especially older people. You know, it got my dad in the end. COVID did. We are scared about losing our economic security, losing our homes, losing our jobs. We feel fear about this. And pandemics, like wars, remind us again what Lewis says, there's something deeply, deeply, deeply wrong with the world. And all this does is just show it. And therefore, everything that's happening, the rogue viruses, the racial divide, the unjust killings, the armed conflicts, he says, remind us of a deeper problem in the universe. And this is what he gets at. And this is straight up gospel truth right here. And he says, the reason why we're experiencing these things is not just because we placed our faith in other things but God, but in a larger sense, all of us, I mean all of us, me included, all of us, we have rebelled against the God of the universe in some way or another. It's not just for people out there. That's important that we hear that, because that's all I hear right now. The problem with this world are these young people. The problem with the world are these protesters. The problem with the world is these people. Like somehow we are above and removed from other sinners. And what Lewis says, and he just puts the skunk right on the table, and he says, no, the problem is not just with the world out there. The problem with the world is also in here, in my heart. And he says this, and I got to say, when I begin to realize what he was saying, and I just got to say this, this has been such a hard month. I think this has probably happened for a lot of you. What has been happening is God has slowly been stripping away the things that I thought I absolutely had to have. Have you not experienced that? He's taken away the things that I thought I were essential, and I'm learning more and more. He's stripped me down to where I feel like I have absolutely nothing. In the end, I'm telling you, it's hard saying this, that's the best place you can ever get to, because you're not distracted. You're not as frustrated. You're not full of fear, because your eyes are focused on him. And I realize the refiner's fire, he's been taking things away. And I'll tell you something, it is easy, even for a minister, to forget these things, to get swept up in what the enemy wants to do to us. And I'll tell you a couple of personal stories as I come to a close. You know, 3 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I've lost track of time. This is before my father died. That same day, I got a call that was probably some of the worst news I've ever had in my life before he died. That was the worst day of my life. I can't tell you what it is. It had nothing to do with anything in Bluffton, but it was so overwhelming. I just could not believe this is happening. And then 4 hours later, I get a call that my father died. And I was so distraught, and I don't know if you've ever been like this in life, I'm sure some of you have, where you're in a place and so many things are happening to you and you just say to yourself, I don't want to be here. God, just take me somewhere else. Take me somewhere else other than right here. And I was telling this to someone and they reminded me of something I said earlier to them a year ago. You know who else said this? I don't want to be here. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Where Jesus was in the garden and he knew the road he had to walk and the cup that he had to drink. And he said, Father, is there another way? Take me far, far, far away from here. And finally Jesus said to his dad, I will walk the road you want me to walk. I will drink the cup. I'm learning in a much smaller sense, that is what God's calling us to do. We will walk this road that he has us on for as long as he has us on it. The second thing is, this all happened the same day, by the way. I was just staring for at my desk, because that's where my dad would want me to be, working, you know, staring for at my desk. And my phone rang, and it was one of my college kids that I'm close to, all these college relationships I have. And it was a young woman who, by the way, who just turned 19 today. I called me and she, hey, I just called to see how you're doing, just checking on you. And it was embarrassing to say this. I just lost it. I just started crying uncontrollably. And she said, "What's the matter?" And I was telling her the things that were happening. And I just kept saying to her, "I wish none of this had happened. I wish none of this had ever happened." And she said, "Pastor Jay, I'm going to do to you what you have been doing to me the last 2 years." And she reminded me of a video that I had sent her 2 years ago, because she has walked a road. She has walked a road. And, you know, the road where you said, "I just wish none of this had ever happened." She reminded me of a clip that I sent her, okay, from The Lord of the Rings 2 years ago. And if you don't, I mean, obviously many of you know my obsession with Tolkien and all that stuff. You've learned to put up with it here, okay? But Tolkien was a believer. He never set out to write Christian books. I don't think we'd say Lord of the Rings is a Christian book, although his Christianity is buried deep in the narrative. It's all over the place. And in the book, or in the movies, if you've ever seen that, Frodo is carrying this ring that's really destroying the world. And he has to throw it to Mount Doom to save the world. Because everybody gets this ring, think they can control it, and yet what it does is it just takes over their life and destroys them. And he seems to be able to resist it, this evil. And he begins to realize he has to walk a road to take this ring to throw it into Mount Doom, and he realizes it's beginning to happen. All those that are close to him begin to suffer. Those he cares about begin to die. And he's finally realizing just the enormity of the suffering and the sadness that's coming from this. And he's talking to Gandalf, that Christ-like figure in The Lord of the Rings. And he says to Gandalf, I wish I'd never gotten the ring. I wish none of this had ever happened." And I sent this clip to this young woman, and she sent it back to me. And I'm telling you, it was just the right thing. And I want you to, it's only about a minute long, I want you to watch this.
"I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened."
"So do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. There are other forces at work in this world, Frodo, besides the will of evil. Bilbo was meant to find the ring, in which case you also were meant to have it. And that is an encouraging thought."
Now, this is just brilliant, what Tolkien said here. You see the gospel in there. We look around and we see the forces of evil at work in the world, but what Gandalf says, and then really this is right out of the scriptures, honestly. "Evil shall not have the final say. If we are with Christ, we will be on the right side of history." Do you understand me? And no matter what is taking place, is the forces of evil that are at work, God is even greater than the forces of evil. And therefore, when it seems like all is lost, there are things that are happening behind the scenes that are greater than we can possibly imagine. Just like we heard with Adam this morning, getting on the wrong train, it was the right train. It may seem like we are on the wrong train, we are not. We are right where God has us. And though the devil has the power to twist creation to our destruction, the sovereign God of the universe has the power to twist evil to our salvation. And therefore, the gospel has the final word. And I say that to you today, every one of you that are dealing with either COVID, armed conflict, economic loss, sadness, death of loved ones, live as those who are not foolish. Live as those who are wise. Our God, our lives are in God's hands as they've always been. In God, we still trust, and so it is with you. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, you are so great. You are so big. You are so wonderful. We come to you this morning asking you, Lord, to meet us here in a time where we are really struggling, Lord. We're really hurting. And so we pray, Lord, as each one of us here, as we're about to come to your table to receive the bread, we ask, Lord, that you would open up our hearts, that it's not just a wafer. It's not just some religious ritual. It's actually meeting us where we are, Lord, in our sadness, in our loss, in our doubts, that we know your word says, if we focus on you, your word says, surely your goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. As you look forward to that day, we dwell in your house forever. It's in your name we ask and pray these things. Amen.